Hello, everybody, and welcome back to the Crypto Economy Podcast. Today, I'm very excited to have Aaron Kong of Osmosis here to tell you a little bit about what they're doing with the Cosmos blockchain. So thank you so much for being here, Aaron.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I do think there's a little clarification. You said what Osmosis is doing with the Cosmos blockchain, but there is no Cosmos blockchain. There's a Cosmos Hub blockchain, which is the blockchain for the native token Atom. But there's no specific Cosmos blockchain. Cosmos is like this ecosystem of blockchains that are all kind of, they're not necessarily tied together, but they are all interoperable seamlessly because of the underlying tech stack. So, you know, like even Binance is a Cosmos blockchain, but they just haven't turned on the interoperability feature, and they could if they wanted to. But yeah, so I just wanted to clarify that. I didn't want people to think like, oh, Osmosis is going on podcasts and telling everyone that they run the Cosmos and they are the Cosmos, which might be true to some extent, but.
Well, I think this will be a great opportunity for you to help people better understand that, even myself. So I think that's this is what we're here to do. So I guess maybe just to get started, if you could briefly just touch on your background, how you got interested in crypto, and why specifically you were attracted to this project.
I've been in crypto for around 6 years. You started off just really diving in and being obsessed and like scouring forums and researching all these little shit projects, which ended up, you know, screwing myself over or holding too long at the top and holding Ant shares all the way up to $195 and just, you know, never taking profits. So I've had my experience in the bulls and bear markets. I've taken my lessons along with it, but I guess, you know, before all that and before 2017, what really got me into this digital world was my obsession with video games. And I used to be a professional World of Warcraft player. And oh, wow. Anyone that's played World of Warcraft or any like RPG video game or MMO video game, massive multiplayer online game, you know, there's this digital world where you can interact, you can make gold, you can go buy items, you can go in an auction house, you can buy things there, you can trade with people, you can do favors for people. And all these things are kind of, if you take away the, you know, the analogy that Vitalik always brings, that, you know, World of Warcraft was centralized because there is this superpower that can just change the code at any time. But let's say they never change the code. This is a pretty decentralized video game because as long as the code isn't changed, these things are all done based on trust that the video game works. That when you trade an item, it's not going to get lost, or that the other player can't steal it because there's a mechanism in the trade that you have to both hit the trade button and they have to both register green before the trade actually goes through. So like these things are all, you don't have to trust the people, you just trust that the code works. So I really enjoyed, you know, one, this video game because it was a beautiful video game, but two, I really liked how the economics and the dynamics and the relations that you would have with players through the game base would take place. And it was just like this beautiful world that I really would love to see kind of somehow expand into our world. And this doesn't mean like, you know, we're living in the metaverse. What I kind of mean is that you see it every day already, just in bits and pieces, whether it's in China, every single place you go and buy food, you're buying food with your phone on one super app. The super app is WeChat. You talk to all your friends on WeChat. You look at stores on WeChat. Stores have their storefront on WeChat. Your money's on WeChat. You have WePay. You pay each other through WeChat. So all these things are done in this super app, and they all kind of intermingle with each other. Now, I don't actually know if WeChat allows you to like make investments through it, but this would just be the next step, right? Like, why aren't you able to take the money that you got paid from your friend and invest it in the same app? And then you take those investments and you can sell them for cash, and then you go buy food with that same app still. So this is all in one place, all in one hub. And this is kind of, you know, I really would love to see the whole world have this consolidation of their lifestyle. So I have this obsession with consolidating and making my life clutter free. And You know, I guess the jacket hanging on this thing doesn't really prove that I'm clutter free, but everything I have is meant to make my life easier, because I believe this frees up bandwidth in my mind. Anything from my dishwasher, or sorry, my laundry machine, it's a 2-in-1 laundry machine. This makes my life easy. I go down and it's already dry. You know, when I'm shopping, I literally buy like an entire the whole shelf, so that I never have to buy it for like six, whatever the item is, for like the next 6 months. So it's like, my dream is for my own shelf, my own like vanity shelf, to look like the store shelf, because I just don't want to have to go back and spend more time doing these things. So anything that can make the whole world's life greater and easier and more consolidated, it literally will speed up civilization, in my opinion. So it's like, what are the most bang for buck things to make people's lives and save people's times, or make people's lives better and save people time? It's like, you look at all these things that are very complicated, like politics or these things that just don't have guaranteed outcomes. But if you reduce the amount of traffic someone spends, or the amount of time someone spends in traffic, this is automatic life improvement. And if you make this happen every day for the rest of their life is improved. If you extrapolate this to 300 million people in the USA, and let's say you save 300 million people 10 minutes a day, this is 3 billion minutes a day, right? And you take that by 365 days. So however many minutes saved this is, you know, change. This is like world changing stuff. So if crypto can make people's lives easier, make things more interoperable, and make the experience more consolidated, I think this is simply something that will help the world improve. And this is all kind of based on my obsession with making things consolidated. So this is actually even like what we're working on at Osmosis in the DeFi manner. So Osmosis is like this DeFi hub. And usually when you think of a DEX, you think of the traditional swaps. It's like you trade Bitcoin for Ethereum. Cool, done, right? But on Osmosis, you can do a lot more than that. You can trade one asset for another. You can pool your assets so you can earn yield on it. And this is originally started with the V2, Uniswap V2 classic pools, like the traditional XYK pools. So it's just like 50-50 balance. But now we have the concentrated liquidity pools. So it's almost the same thing as the V2 pools, but V3 concentrated liquidity from Uniswap, which we have adopted and we have made even better in our opinion, essentially takes these V2 pools, but you can have an infinite amount of them. So you have all these pools that have this range, but once you fall out of the bucket, you know, this is your tick. So we have these V3 pools as well, and you can earn yield on them as well. And you can get much more, make much larger trades with much less liquidity. So these new pools are magnitudes more capital efficient. Osmosis also has perps on it. We have power perps as well, which is kind of like a very fun play on perps, where it's the square of the price of that asset. So if the asset is, let's say, like 80 cents, the square of that is 64 cents, I think. But if that asset goes up to like $2, the square is $4. So this is a very interesting dynamic, because if it's under a dollar, it goes down. But if it's over a dollar, it goes up, right? We have lending. We have DeFi leases. We have something called Stream Swap, which is essentially like tokens that are launching, they can kind of do price discovery on StreamSwap. We even have music, it's called Symphonia, where, you know, you can list like music tokens through certain artists.
Oh wow.
And we're even working on our own native perps coming up as well. And we have I think one of the biggest things that we are working on is this native Bitcoin bridge, which is very similar to the Thor chain bridge, but we're going to do it better, faster, and cheaper. And because we have much more, we have liquidity that can be traded through, this adds more features on top of it. So right now, like what ThorChain does great is that they can, you know, they have the ability to swap Bitcoin over to Ethereum. But the problem with ThorChain is that it doesn't actually let you take any of these assets into ThorChain and hold it there. You can only pool Bitcoin into a Bitcoin rune pool, or you have to go all the way to Ethereum. So there's like nowhere to actually like place it in ThorChain. Think of it as like a highway, and you can either take the bridge toll that goes above, or the regular road down here. And this is where people want to like go and like eat food and hang out and meet their friends. But ThorChain never lets Bitcoin ever come down here. It only allows it to skip over. So this is, you know, strategic on their part for many reasons, but there is much more left to be desired because they don't let you do the other half. So we're going to allow this, and we can make it faster as well. And because we have the liquidity, we can, you know, swap this to anywhere. So
that's, that's a lot that you guys have got going on. So I guess maybe just to take it back a few levels, you know, there are a lot of places that you can park your money in crypto, that you can stake, that you can join liquidity pools. Yep. What is your pitch to people? Is it that this is safer, that it's potentially more profitable, that there's more liquidity? You know, how do you make the pitch to the person that maybe wants to park it on Solana somewhere, or might be, you know, interested in sticking with ETH, you know?
Sure. Well, here's the thing. It's like there are many advantages to all these ecosystems. But the main thing is like what people should do is explore Cosmos and explore Osmosis, because there's nothing to lose. It's interoperable with all these chains. So you can, you know, if you want to keep your stuff on Solana, cool. But if you want to take some of it and come explore Osmosis, you should do it, because one, there's nothing to lose, but two, there are a lot more DeFi suites offered over on Osmosis. And you know, we're in contact with a lot of these ecosystems. We work with them. We do ideas with them. Whether it's co-market, whether we bring over incentives or bring over their tokens that are being listed, these things all exist over in Cosmos. So, you know, I think it's really important for the user to just explore the ecosystems and determine for themselves if they prefer something that's a little more advanced, cheaper, faster, better, or if they want to, you know, not take those routes. But, you know, I think one of the key things that the Cosmos does have is a very welcoming community. People aren't gatekeepy. People really try to help users, really explain things. If you toss a question up on Twitter, you'll get help on exactly what you're looking for, whether it's running a validator, whether it's trying to reach a team, whether it's just a simple question on how to join some kind of liquidity pool or use a product. So I think the Cosmos community, especially Osmosis, is very welcoming. And I don't know if you would necessarily get that in these other communities as much, or if other communities place that much emphasis on new users coming in and really taking care of them. So I think that's one key factor that we have.
Yeah. And you mentioned you've, you know, got some partners. So how have you gone about finding those partners, finding those communities that you want to make a part of your community? I'm sure you've got more options than you know what to do with. So what's the sort of strategic thinking there?
So, I mean, there are many different types of partners, right? Like whether it's a team that's building on Osmosis, whether it's a team launching their own chain with the Cosmos tech stack, or it's a team that's an external ecosystem. Maybe it's like Cardano or Ripple or the OG Bitcoiners community or the Solana ecosystem, or like the Orca team over on Solana, or the Bonk meme coin DAO over on Solana, or even the AVAX guys, even the Polygon people. So like, you know, we're connected with all of them. We have great relations with, I think, everyone. And, you know, each relation is a little different, but really we just kind of seek how can we work together, whether it makes sense. And if it does, we should. And sometimes this is simply maybe a Twitter space discussing ideas But sometimes it's as like incentives to, you know, launch liquidity pools on Osmosis. So, you know, Kava is a team in the Cosmos ecosystem that we work with pretty closely, and they have a program called the Kava Rise program, where they essentially, you know, are pushing the adoption of USDT that is issued via Kava, or Noble, which launched USDC via Circle. They, we work closely with them, and, you know, whether it's like their launch, we had a pretty big hand in it, or helping them with the actual technical side of things, we helped them with as well. So, you know, we work with all these teams in different ways, marketing, incentives, co-funding things, grants, technical sides.
Awesome. So what has your experience been working just generally with Cosmos? Is there, you know, a particular reason where you like sort of incubated by them? Did you, you know, start as one of their early projects? Could you just walk me through what your experience has been like working with them?
So you're talking about Osmosis?
Yes, Osmosis.
So again, like there is no team that really works on Cosmos Hub alone. Cosmos has no like central entity. You know, it's not like Cardano or Ripple or Polkadot that has these foundations. Many would argue that Cosmos, the Cosmos Hub, Atom, the token, is one of the most decentralized tokens in all of crypto outside of like Bitcoin, probably. And it's because even if you go to the governance on the Cosmos Hub, you'll see that the people with the most backs, or like the founder himself, isn't even able to get across the proposal that he wants because it's that decentralized. But Osmosis came to be because, so there was this company called AIB, stands for All In Bits, and they created the Cosmos Hub Atom. But I think there were some like differing views. And a few years ago, most of the key members all split off and started their own projects. And the Cosmos Hub essentially, you know, has no leading team right now. And most of like the key figures are building other projects right now. So like whether that's Osmosis or whether that's like, you know, Zaki building out a lot of the projects. He's an advisor on like 50 different projects right now. you know, so it's like the Cosmos doesn't fund. There is no the Cosmos.
Yeah.
There's no entity that's behind it or anything really. It's kind of like this thing that like came out in like the most like weird organic way and then just exists now. So like, you know, like if someone were to go after the Cosmos, there would be no one to go after. Like no one is the central figure. You know, the founder can't even get a proposal to go his way because people just disagree with him. And it's like the most decentralized ecosystem out there.
I mean, I think that there's a lot to be said about that. I think that's important. I think people need to be careful when some of these projects are heavily funded by, you know, like Solana Foundation or something, that, you know, that can mean often they can't stand on their own without that kind of support behind
them. Yeah, exactly. I mean, this happens like you see when a team like maybe Polygon has this gigantic treasury and they're just willing to hand out $1 million checks. So even if a team, like a small team building some kind of app on Polygon is able to like create a great app, this doesn't mean they're going to get adoption, right? So like you could, you know, you can pay for all these partnerships that you want, but you know, getting user traction and adoption and stickiness is not as easily done.
Have you found it difficult to compete as a result, or do you feel you don't necessarily need to compete?
Compete with who?
With Polygon? You know, the Ethereum, the Polygons, the Solana Foundations. Are people coming to you thinking this is one or the other, or can you typically say why not both?
Okay, no, those. I don't think these ecosystems are like, I don't think we should stress too much about the competition, because we're really just focused on users using the products that we create. And we find that users really will adopt the best products, especially if it's in Cosmos, because everything is so interoperable. It makes life so much easier for users. But I haven't really found us like competing too much in that sense, because we feel that there's enough to share. And users can also use both ecosystems. This isn't, you know, like when I was a DeFi degen, I would spend a lot of my time across like three or four ecosystems. So as long as you're in the top three, you're probably good. And I think certainly we would be top three.
That's a good place to be. So have you noticed that you're having more success maybe like in certain geographical areas? Have you noticed that shift? Are you, you know, putting more time and effort into certain parts of the world as regulatory uncertainty has increased in the US, for example? Or have you just been sort of,
I think most of our users are either in the USA, Korea, or Europe, which I guess Europe is a very broad generalization. But no, we haven't really focused too much on specific areas, because I think the main thought is that as long as we just keep building the best product, you know, focusing on a specific country is not really super relevant. This can be a consideration down the road when, let's say, like we feel like our product has hit some kind of perfection, which, you know, in theory, we never hit perfection, but we always strive for it. But no, not right now. Like, we're not really super focused on any specific area, but we are keen on like kind of keeping our eye on Asia. I do think this is worth considering, but I think in the meantime, it's not really something to like rush into.
Yep. Yeah, that's wise, I think. Have you guys been heavily affected by the market cycles? Have you, you know, put strategies in place where, you know, during a bear market, you're focused more on, you know, some part of the business, maybe building out new features for the product versus focusing more on marketing? Or is that something you just don't really think about and you just focus on what you guys feel like you need to do?
Yeah, I mean, we do some, like we do a lot of co-marketing with teams that are launching on Osmosis, or, you know, maybe listing a new token on Osmosis. And, you know, listing is permissionless, but like to get the word out there, right? And then we do a lot of events, but I think a lot of times like the paid marketing can be tricky, because usually these end up being like some kind of campaign where it's like people just want to farm the rewards and then they just dump it after, and like it doesn't actually hold sticky users. So the real thought is, how do we create marketing that's actually going to retain users and drive volume that's long lasting without like throwing, you know, 50 grand at something silly and then it literally just does nothing. So I think a lot of these can be like, you know, ambassador growth. But the thing is, like, these ambassadors need to be organic, but this is happening, and you'll kind of notice like these don't even need to be paid. As long as you create products and you kind of engage with the community will market itself sometimes. And this is kind of the case with Osmosis. Osmosis has never really done any significant marketing, generally no paid advertisements. And we have this bustling community that are, they're like religious zealots for Osmosis, because they see all the work that's going on and they're really just obsessed with seeing more progress and more developments. Whether it's like the taker fees that have just launched the other month, where every single swap that takes place on Osmosis, 0.1% of that transaction will go towards the stakers now. And
nice.
People are super bullish on this. And there are many ideas and things like this that people just continue to pump out and talk about, talking about real yield now. All the apps launching on Osmosis, all these things just get the community really hyped up. But yeah, so marketing, you know, it can be a tricky thing. I think you know, we could do more marketing in certain areas once, ideally, like when smart accounts and our Bitcoin Bridge are out. I think this is like a good place to really start pushing things.
So you just mentioned smart accounts and the Bitcoin Bridge. Are there any other, you know, features in the pipeline or the roadmap that you guys are really excited to roll out that you might be working on, or just things that you think that maybe you will be working on down the line that you're excited to get started on someday?
I think the most exciting thing is the Bitcoin Bridge. Like, this is actually, in my opinion, like probably the most valuable thing to come to Cosmos, or at least top five to come to Cosmos this year or next year. It's just this need that doesn't currently, you know, it's not currently met, but there's clearly the most liquidity in Bitcoin, right? And there are clearly people with the most bags in Bitcoin. But, you know, let's say they want to dip in 1% and like start exploring, like, you know, there's a need here, but no one wants to wait an hour and no one wants to spend tons of money on this. So we need to make this cheap and fast for them. But I think Osmosis can run the narrative of being the DEX for the entire crypto industry. And you can't be that without this Bitcoin feature, right?
Yep, absolutely. And it is crazy to me that we're this far along and that hasn't been developed in a way that is really, you know, you can actually utilize. I've been doing
a lot of playing around.
Yeah, like I've been doing a lot of playing around with Solana and Bitcoin ordinals. And I'm like, how do I get my Solana to my ordinals? They just can't do it.
Exactly.
And so I was wondering if you guys
Be able to, though.
And that is a real use case.
Ordinals as well.
That was my next question, because I've already been rugged by a few ordinals projects promising to do what you guys are saying you're going to do. So I'm hoping someone will do it.
All right.
But yeah, I was wondering like how you guys think about, you know, things like ordinals. You know, I know it's fairly new technology. So is it hard to jump on something that's that early, not really knowing how it's going to play out? Or are you guys just kind of excited to jump on the new technologies and be one of the first movers?
You know, I don't know if it's necessarily our job to like worry about the dynamic around it, but just to make it available and let the users decide for themselves. So, you know, we'll get ordinals some utility and allow it to be, you know, moved around, and then beyond that, we'll see what the community wants. Whether this is like a marketplace on Osmosis, potentially, or just being able to swap it out somewhere else. You know, I think ordinals won't be the very first thing, of course, to be implemented, but it is something that is within the tech capabilities of what we're building.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. So when you are integrating something like ordinals, or maybe it's Solana tokens, how do you decide, you know, which of those tokens you might list? Is that a community decision? Do you go by volume, market cap?
Oh,
what is that?
Well, listing is permissionless, but to list it on the front end, it like takes no time. Like this is like, you know, we could list 100 tokens today. This is like not an issue. Yeah,
there
it's not like some centralized exchange where you have to like worry about like all these slow integrations and what to list first. You know, permissionless. And you know, we don't necessarily control what gets listed. This is to the DAO to decide.
Yep. Yeah, got it. And so in that sense, you know, I noticed a lot of staking pools and the rewards were, you know, pretty solid. Are those sort of decided in a decentralized way? I guess, how do you tell the person who maybe got screwed pretty bad in the last cycle by some really high APY staking accounts that this is safe and this is the this is the right alternative?
Yeah. So, you know, so there are clearly some like things that a user should educate themselves on before diving into a pool. But like, if you see an APR that's like 1,000%, you should probably do a little research on it before you just YOLO in, because this could be, you know, incentives that were just added and you're the first person in, and really these incentives just could be some random shit project that is like trying to lure you in so you can be their exit liquidity. Or, you know, let's say an APR is around like 50 to 150%. You'd be like, why is it so, like, why is it higher than normal? Maybe volume's up. Maybe something, maybe some kind of token, like airdrop is happening around it and there's some hype around it. Or just the other day, this team announced that they're airdropping to NFT holders of this NFT called Bad Kids. And that NFT's floor price went up like 3x. And the liquidity of the token that you need to buy that, called Stars, it's like, you know, running low because everyone's buying it to go buy these NFTs. But the swap volume is through the roof, which is making the APR go up as well. So, you know, you do a little research and figure out, why is this APR up? Is this organic? Is this real? Is this sustainable? Am I going to get rugged? You know, this is for the user to kind of like dive in and figure out for themselves.
Yeah. And I guess that is kind of the challenge you have, is it's decentralized. You want it to be permissionless, let people do whatever they want to do. But that means they can also do things that might get them in trouble. So have you guys, you know, done some work around like educating people about how these things work? Has there been some UI, UX, you know, decision making?
Yeah.
You know, like the way Rollbit will give you a 1000x slider where you're like, maybe we'll give you the 20x, you know, instead. You know, is there any thoughts like that?
So there, like, if an APR is very high, like, you know, I think there's like some kind of tooltip that like warns you, like, beware, this is a big number. There are guides and stuff out there to like teach you how to like use and enter these pools as well. And then certain assets are verified and certain assets are not verified. So it's like, you know, if an asset is verified, you know, and, but the APR is like pretty high, this may, kind of give users more confidence because they're like, oh, this is like a legit team. But it's also possible, like, you know, this team could, you know, you never know what's going on inside the team. So this isn't a guarantee or anything, but it's an indicator that we've at least communicated with this team and they're not just like random or anonymous necessarily. But then there are unverified assets as well. So like, you know, if an unverified asset has extremely high APRs, this may indicate that it's just some random token that got listed permissionlessly and they're just like listing a meme coin to see if someone's going to bite.
Yep. And that definitely tends to happen every once in a while.
Yeah.
So could you tell us a little bit about how maybe the Atom token in particular works and how it interacts with the ecosystem? Is that sort of the token you would describe as the baseline token for interacting with the hub?
So the Atom token is essentially a meme coin. It doesn't do anything. But this is changing. Historically, it was just like a random meme coin that just kind of has great tech, but it wasn't actually used. Nowadays, this is shifting. So there are projects that are building on the Cosmos Hub, such as like Neutron or Noble, and they use ICS, interchain security, to kind of secure their networks. So, you know, now there is a little more utility to Atom, but we kind of think that the real way that Atom can kind of pivot and gain a foothold in something like real value is to become the money for Cosmos and you know, the greater ecosystem. Why? Is because, you know, you take Bitcoin and Bitcoin is money, but Atom is so decentralized. It actually has this robustness to it. So by being so decentralized, no one really gets to control it besides, you know, the community vote. But the community vote is generally very split 50-50. So it's actually like a very fair system we kind of see. But other than that, like, there is no real use case for Atom right now. Maybe eventually, but right now, you know, there is no real value accrual to it. You don't need it to do anything. Like, you need Stars to go buy an NFT on Stargaze. You need Osmo to, you know, use for fees on Osmosis. But luckily, on Osmosis, we have something called fee abstraction, where you can have any token on Osmosis or in your wallet, but you don't need Osmo to pay fees. You can just use fee abstraction. So you can pay for your fees in any token. It just, the Osmosis blockchain will swap this token for you and take care of the fees for you. So, you know, like, you know, Osmo has a utility. Osmo has a DEX, and this DEX drives volume and brings revenue to Osmo holders and stakers. So right now, you know, Atom from the Cosmos Hub doesn't really have a huge value, but it does have a much larger market cap. But hopefully this narrative for the Cosmos Hub and Atom kind of continues the shift, and then eventually it gets adopted as this Cosmos Hub money.
Got it. No, I think that's a great breakdown. And so you mentioned Osmo as well. So if I have some Osmo tokens, what's the best way for me to leverage those to be earning more? Is that just staking? Is there just automatic distribution of fees? How does that work?
Yeah, so there are a few, you know, ways that vary between their level of degeneracy. But one, you can just stake it. And if you just stake it, you'll earn roughly 13.5% APR. I think 11% of this is like just general chain emissions. But then like 2.5% of this is from the protocol revenue. You go lend your Osmo out with Mars. You can put your Osmo into Lavana and take leverage. You want to go 30x on pretty much all the main assets on Osmosis, you know, WBTC, Ethereum, I think Ethereum, Atom, Osmo, SQ Osmo, or ST Osmo. So you can go do some perps on your Osmo. You can do DeFi leases with Nolis. You can add assets into a vault with Quasar and like let them earn you the fees. They take like 20% of a cut, but you know they'll do it for you, so you don't have to manage it yourself. So that can be tedious if you did do it yourself. So, you know, there are tons of ways to use Osmosis and Osmo itself within the DEX.
That's awesome. Those are all really good to know. So shifting away from Osmosis a little bit and to you personally, are there any projects that you're really excited about that are coming either soon or already out? Maybe these are teams you've worked with, people you know, or just things you're following along with that you think are going to be important for the general market going forward.
So I think one of the biggest things was DYDX migrating from Ethereum to Cosmos. And this is a huge narrative play because they are the most successful dApp on Ethereum. They left for Cosmos. They're not like entirely gone yet, but like they're eventually migrating away fully. But they already launched their Cosmos chain and it's working and it's succeeding and it's going great. So this is kind of proof that one, Cosmos is the way to go. Two, it works. Three, the biggest players are willing to make this bet. I think this is one of the greatest plays out there. As far as like some coming up that I'm excited about, I think Namada is very exciting, and they are, they're airdropping to Osmosis addresses and Bad Kids NFT holders. But they're also like working on a lot of privacy features, and I think this is something that a lot of OG crypto guys are very excited about, and it's more enticing to use Osmosis if it also like, you know, integrates with some privacy features. And Namada, I believe, will be bringing some of those.
That's huge. Yeah, I would love to see more of the privacy come back to crypto. I think last cycle, there was a bit of a hole in the market there. Everyone's kind of too scared to do it, unsure about the regulatory sort of restrictions and stuff. But I think this cycle, a lot of people are taking a second look at it and figuring out how to make it work, given what they know now. So I think that's very wise, and I think a lot of people will be interested in that. But I think those are most of the questions I have for you. I think you've done a great job of breaking down how all these pieces fit together, what makes you guys unique. Are there any specific places that people can learn more about you, links to your website, Twitter, so on and so forth, that you might want to plug for people?
Yeah. So for Osmosis, you can just go to osmosis.zone. For myself, Twitter is just Aaron X Kong, and you can DM me or tag me in anything and just, you know, chat about anything. Yeah. And then, like, you'll find on Telegram as well. Our chat is very welcoming, and any questions that anyone has, you can ask them on Twitter or on Telegram, and you'll get an answer pretty quick. Our Telegram can be found, on Twitter. You just go, like, it'll be in the link, or should be. Yeah. So, you know, it should be very easy to kind of enter this ecosystem, and this community is not gatekeepy at all, and very welcoming and helpful.
Great. And I'll make sure all those links are in the episode description and tag you guys across social media, so it'll be easy for you guys to find them. I encourage you guys to follow along, and we'd love to have you back sometime soon to follow along with your progress. So thank you so much for coming on. And for all you listening, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back with another episode soon. Awesome.